I made $56,000 on my first flip. On my second flip, I made $108,000, $93,000 on the third, and $74,000 on the fourth. And I did that in like a year and a half. So I make more on my first flip than on 10 years of savings with photography.
Welcome to Investing in the US, a podcast for real estate investors, business owners, and aspiring entrepreneurs looking to grow their wealth by investing in US real estate. I'm your host, Reid Goossens, and so far, I've acquired over $800 million worth of investments on various properties across the United States. On this podcast, I interview go-getters, risk takers, and the best in the business to learn more about their investment journey and the cutting-edge strategies they are applying towards building a legacy. For more on growing your own wealth and by investing in the US, visit www.reidgoossens.com. Today on the show, I have the pleasure of speaking with Joe Arias. Now, Joe is a distinguished real estate investor, entrepreneur, author, mentor, and public speaker. And he's renowned for his expertise in property flipping, wholesaling, turnkey, and multifamily investments. As the founder and he's the CEO of Real Success Investments, Joe has transformed from a young immigrant who had no financial background whatsoever into a leading figure in the real estate industry. Joe has also trained thousands of students on real estate flipping, and he has created a cutting-edge system to help people invest better in real estate, removing yourself from actually working in the business rather than working on the business. So I'm really pumped and excited to have him on the show today to share his incredible insight. But enough out of me. Let's get him out here. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. Well, how are you doing today, mate?
What's going down?
What's that bell? Love that bell. Love that bell. But mate, we were talking in the green room. You're local. Where are you dialing in from?
I live in Los Angeles. Absolutely. Nice. Yeah, we're neighbors.
We are neighbors. And you're also, we're going to get into it, but you're an immigrant like myself. So I do want to hear about that story, but I ask all my guests when they come on the show, can you rewind the clock and tell me how you made your first ever dollar as a kid?
This is a story not a lot of people know, since you're asking. I'm originally from Argentina. I'm 43 years old now. I came to the US when I was 19. And the first money I got was when I was 12. And it's a really interesting story. My friend was an actor. He was going to auditions, castings in Argentina. And this was in the 90s, right? There's no like Netflix and, you know, there's basically like a few, you know, TV channels and that was it. And I got invited to that show as, you know, my friend was like, come with me and it's going to be an audition. It's going to be very nice and relaxed. Well, I got there and it was like a stadium. There was like about 2,000 kids. They were all like sitting, you know, like literally like a small stadium. Someone thought that I was there to audition and they gave me a piece of paper and they said, go and study these lines and come back in like an hour. And I was there with my friend and, you know, I was so nervous. I was sweaty. I didn't know what to do. I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to do it. And then I did it and I didn't think anything of it. And a month later, I get a call and we went into the next phase. And I'm like, but I'm not even an actor. Like, I've never done anything. And I went to the second phase and now there's 200 people. And I did this time they prepared me. They sent me the material like, you know, a little bit before. And then I moved to the next phase, which was 10 actors. And we all auditioned for the third time. And that was when the producer, I didn't even know what a producer was, but they said, all of the 10 of you have been selected to be in the show. And they gave me the lead. So I was the lead. I got no clue how to act. And that's how my life changed from one day to another. I experienced being famous for a few years after that. But that's how I make my money. I got a big check the first month and I was only 12 and, you know, but that was how I make my first money.
A boyhood actor. So it was the coming to America at 19. Was that to chase a Hollywood dream?
No. Yes. Hollywood dream, not to be an actor. It was, I love movies. I love stories. I even like, we even teach right now real estate through stories. We build a lot of story building and it's really powerful for people to learn real estate through storytelling. I came to LA because I wanted to be a filmmaker. I am a filmmaker. I think we're all filmmakers, storytellers in one way or another. But I came to the US when I was 19 and I started you know, it was hard to get jobs as a director, right? Because you have to go and create a job. So I started doing a lot of photography. I was a wedding photographer. And I remember like being ashamed because like my day job was a photographer, but what I really wanted to do was films. So I was like, I didn't want to tell people in the film business that I was a wedding photographer. So I kind of like kept that like separate. You know, there's a little bit of shame in my own, you know, in my own mind at that time, which right now I can share it and I'm flat on it. But I remember like kind of like not telling the films because I, you know, I didn't want to be perceived like someone that was not fulfilling what you came here to do. But it was, I remember it was very tough to make money as a film director. And then I did photography for, you know, many, many years until I flipped my first house.
And what got you in your first house? Why? You know, you're shooting films. Was there a conversation that someone told you about? Like, how did you get that first one done?
The first flip?
Yeah.
So I didn't know how much I was going to love beautifying a house, right? Really like transforming a house. I didn't know that. It was more of a financial decision for me. I knew a lot of people. You know, I live in Los Angeles, and I think no matter where you live, you always see these investors. They're driving nice cars. They have a lot of time to drink coffee and chat, right? It's just like, you know, they're always traveling. They create a lot of time freedom. And I'm sure you, Reed, and a lot of people listening to this podcast also know people like that. And there's something about these investors, and I wanted to have a little bit of that. I was working my butt off every day with photography, and I was working kind of like in the rat race. Even though I was a business owner, I fell in the rat race. I was making money, and then at the end of the year, I'll pay all my credit cards and I'll go back to zero. And I would do the same thing as a photographer. And I was not even like passionate about photography. I mean, there's a lot of photographers out there that are passionate, but this applies to any jobs where I say the rule of like from 10 people doing what any job, you got eight people, you got two people really good at it. You got three people like that they kind of like it and they're okay. And then you got five people that are not great at it. So, and that was kind of like my experience. I was like okay at it, but I was not passionate. So I was seeing all these people and I wanted to flip a house. I didn't know where to go, right? You want to be an agent, you go and you get a course or you study. You want to be a contractor, you go and you study. You want to be a lender, right? There's nowhere where they could teach me how to be an investor. And I got some friends, they were not really like close friends, but some people I knew, and I asked them, could you teach me? I will pay you to teach me. And they didn't want to do it. Either they were really busy or they saw me as competition or whatever reason. And I reached out to five people where they had coffee once with me, but they were not open on sharing the numbers, the profits. How are you using, you know, analyzing the deals? And I was like stuck. I feel stuck for many years, for 2 to 3 years, until I found a community, right? I did a program, an educational program in real estate, a company that now they, you know, they moved on to a different business. They did too well and they moved on. It wasn't until I found my community of people that I felt like, and I found that community of people. And when I found that community of investors, everything changed. I got my first flip. I remember I got in that deal. I made $56,000 on my first flip. On my second flip, I made $108,000, 93 on the third and 74 on the fourth. And I did that in like a year and a half. So I made more on my first flip than on 10 years of savings with photography. So after I made my first flip, I was like completely hooked. Yep. And I came to real estate only for the financial. I didn't know all the other benefits and vitamins that real estate has for us as humans, right? Like it's so beautiful because it's so multifaceted. Like you could bring you might be a super logical person, very analytical. You can go and crash in a real estate, bringing that. You could be like someone with a bit of a design, and you're good at designing things and building, you know, kind of like visualizing. You can bring that. You could be someone that you're an action taker, right? You're an action taker. You like to be busy and moving things forward. And then real estate can provide you with that. Like there's a lot of things that real estate, especially flipping, can help you with. And that's how I start up.
And what does the community look like today? I know we spoke a little bit about in the green room, like, who are you helping? How big has it grown? And what are the other ecosystems or other businesses that are now within the system that have, you know, been born from creating that community?
So we have five different departments, right? We got fix and flips. So we're doing fix and flips ourselves. We have wholesaling, right? Then we have rentals, where me and partners have rentals and we're working on that. And then we have multifamily. And when I'm talking about multifamily, it's 20 units plus. Then the fifth department is the education. So the education is where we can leverage our systems, our documents, our checklists, our, you know, how we're setting up the tax strategies and asset protection strategies, software that we created to find off-market deals, legal documents that we spend thousands of dollars, you know, in just a few documents, you know, combined over 1,000 documents that we have. That's like over $50,000, $100,000. Scripts that we tested that are working great. From flips that we've done, like we've done over 100 flips, me and my partners. Like if you combine them, it's thousands. Because we, you know, we got a lot of people in the education. But I used to like go to Home Depot all the time. And every flip, I'll reinvent the wheel. And what happens after time, you know, usually around 20 to flip 20 or 30, you start realizing that certain kitchens are selling way better than other kitchens, right? So one of the rules, every rule is meant to be bent, but one of the rules that we have is 70% of the budget on a flip, you put it on the kitchen and the master bathroom. Those are the two most important areas, right? And it applies with multifamily, right? You're in multifamily, you're a syndicator. So it's the same thing when you're doing, either you're doing one roof with one unit, that's a flip, to one roof with 50 units, that's a multifamily, right? But we started seeing that I would literally have two flips, because when you start flipping, you start like doing projects closer to each other. You have a neighbor say, hey, I saw a sign that says I buy houses. You know, so I just wanted to reach out. That's kind of how I got my second flip. Someone was going into pre-foreclosure and they approached me and said, hey, can you just buy the property, pay my debt so I can like keep my credit and I can move on. And that's how we, you know, but what happens is you start flipping houses in the neighborhood and we would literally have two houses, one block from each other or two blocks from each other. One, I would have one style. The other one, I would have a different kitchen style. And one, we got an over ask like in a few days, you know, 2-3 days in the market. The other one will stay for a long time. We'll have to lower the price. And we'll check the traffic. And one people will stay there for 40 minutes and the other one, they'll be there for 5 minutes. And we were like, why? What's happening? And then we realized that the kitchen and the master bathroom was selling the property. So what I did was flip 20 to 30. I started combining, I put together a catalog that I was using for myself on the best selling kitchens, right? So I have different budgets from 100 to 300, 300 to 500, 500 to a million, 700 to a million and over $1 million. And I stopped going to Home Depot. I would literally like start a flip 50, 40. I will press the button, download the scope of work, send that to Home Depot, and I will have Home Depot deliver all the kitchen and master bathroom into the job site after like 3 or 4 weeks, or we'll pick it up, right? These are all systems that we build throughout the years. And now it's like a plug and play, right? It's not quite a franchise because franchise, you buy a business, you're putting yourself, you're promoting that business, right? Let's say I have a McDonald's franchise. You can buy a franchise and then sell the franchise, right? Like
right.
You're still promoting McDonald's. Mm-hmm. What I love about what we do is we're helping other students, our investors, but they create their own branding. It's their company. We help them with that. And then what's happening is a lot of students are flipping, they're creating cash flow, and then they're selling their businesses, right? Yeah. And the business is 3 to 5X, could be like 8X. So if they're making like, you know, $1 million a year and in gross, and they're, you know, they're netting $400,000, right? You can sell that business 4X. So you could technically sell that business for $1.5, $2 million and have another investor buy your business, right? Just like you buy a house, you get a loan the same way. And now they already have the logo. So what our students are doing also is they're selling their businesses when they want to retire. It doesn't happen right away. Like, they actually love the business, so they stay in the business. But we don't have franchises. They get to invest in their own business. And in the future, they get to, if they want to, they can sell it, they can scale it, they can do whatever is best for them.
That's, it's so inspiring to hear the different ecosystems and you know, franchises that you've created for other people. I think that is the heart and what, you know, really the modern era is. If you create a community, regardless of the business you're in, you get raving fans, you go help them create businesses, they create ecosystems with themselves. It has this real big knock-on effect. And so kudos for what you've built. I guess the big question is, you've got all these different businesses, you've got all these different angles. What's the overall arching goal? Where do you want to get this to before you said, hey, you know, as Joe, I've had enough, I want to step back and let someone else run it. What's that for you?
You know, it's really interesting because as a human being, you're always dealing with your relationship with your capacity of growth, right? Like, I would never retire. Either I'm like, you know, doing real estate, or I'm a chef, or I'm, you know, doing movies, or I would, because the moment you're retired, you know, it's funny because the word retire has the word RE, which is real estate, tired. Like, I will never get real estate tired, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little play there, but I read a study where people that retire increase their you know, their path to dying faster, right? Like, you should know what to do. So I don't think that would ever happen. So I don't have kids right now. So maybe in the future, you know, we're working on it with my wife. So, but maybe in the future, scaling that down, if, you know, like, we want to spend more time with the kids. But I something that I didn't know, I came to real estate just for financial gain, right? And but what I didn't know was that you're able to fulfill some key things needed as human beings to be fulfilled and happy. So I was able to, like, providing a home to a new family. That makes a big difference for a family. I remember the house, you too, Reed, remember your house where you grew in, that you grew up in Australia, right? And I don't know if you were in Australia or not, but, like, whoever built that house made a huge contribution for me, for my family, right? And that's what we get to do for other people, right? Families, we're flipping houses. We got families. We're making a huge impact. And now that we've been in the education, helping other students, you know, accelerate their path of success for 5 years. And that's a new chapter, right? Like, you know, I always train our students. There's two things that we're looking for, which is making money and making a difference. If you only focus on one, like, if you're only going to make money, you're going to be pretty unhappy and you're going to be alone. If you're the person that is always making a difference, you're the person that is always giving, 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 but not receiving. You gotta put that mask first, right? When you're in the plane, right? So you gotta help yourself to help other people. So, but if you can have a balance between making money and making a difference, and that's what I'm getting right now on something that I've been discovering as a entrepreneur in the education sector, is the ability to help other people. And I love it. I love it. It has to be one of those rooted things of being a human that we just don't get to choose. It's just who we are, where it attaches certain things in your head where you get to, like, make a contribution to another person. It moves you in a way, like, I've cried with students. I laugh with students. I have, you know, like, ups and lows with students, right? Like, one of our students we were looking at making a $60,000 profit, and they end up making a $30,000 profit, right? And I was talking to this student, and I was like, he's happy. He was happy. But I was like, in my head, I was like, don't put yourself down. We didn't get our goal, which was $60,000. You made 30. But learning how to go from 0 to 1, like, there's more difference from 0 to 1 than from 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Getting that first project, and in my head was like, I was telling him, I was saying, Louis, his name is Louis. So, Louis, And I got a lot of different students, but I was like, Lewis, you learn a superpower, right? It's the first one, right? The goal is to go to 2, 3 and scale that, right? But learning how to flip is learning a superpower. Because once you get proficient at it, 1 year, you know, the minimum profits that we search as investors that I train is $50,000 minimum or 10%. So I tell my students, if we're not, we do the deal analyzer. If we don't make 50,000 plus, we don't get in the deal. Like we don't. Like that's why, like with Lewis, he was looking at a $60,000 profit. It ended up being 30,000. So there's some errors that he did. He got into a deal. We had a pool that he needed to resurface and other things. But I said, Lewis, you learning how to do this first flip, it's arguably worth millions of dollars because you can capitalize that in the future. You can turn on the switch in a few years and be like, you know what? This year, I want to do 10 flips. All right, 50,000 times 10. You just got to reverse engineer how much money you want to make in the year. And sometimes you won't make, you might make less, you might make more, but the whole goal is to get granular on having that sweet spot, right? I love playing tennis, right? So in playing tennis, we're always working on hitting the ball with this in the sweet spot. Sometimes you'll hit it up here, sometimes here, but it's all about swinging and hitting it right in front of you, right? And learning how to do real estate, it's exactly that. You have to prepare yourself. You have to set yourself. And this is with any sports, right? Soccer, football, like whatever sport. But you have to get ready. And then you have to hit it in the sweet spot. And that's the $50,000 goal, right? And then maybe 1 year, once you're proficient at this, maybe 1 year, you just want to do 2 flips. You're like, you know what? I want to travel this year. I want to be with my family. I want to play more golf. Or I want to, whatever that is. Or I want to maybe venture into a new business. And then you just do 2 flips. Right. And then you get to like backtrack and reverse engineer whatever that goal is. So,
yeah, no, love it. It's, I've had a lot of flippers on the podcast. It's a very systemized business. My question is, how have you guys gone in the last couple of years with interest rates going up? And I know that you can make money in any market. That's the beauty of what I know that you already know the answer, but how has it been in terms of the shift that we've seen? Because we've seen a massive shift in commercial real estate. We've seen it affects everyone. It's not just what's your insight take been?
It doesn't matter. Multifamily is different, right? So multifamily, if you're holding for 2 to 5 years and then you're exiting, it's just different, right? Prices might be higher, might be lower. Turnkey rentals, it's a long, you know, single family turnkey rentals, a long game. It doesn't matter. So as long as you can cash flow, wholesaling, you're just flipping the contract. So you're not even buying something. There's no risk. With flipping, it doesn't matter because the strategy that I teach is what we do as a blueprint is we flip in 4 months maximum. 2 month remodel, RTC, OTC, which is over the counter permits. So we do OTC over the counter permits. We don't get into long projects. Are you going to make money if you expand the kitchen? You know, absolutely you're going to make money, but also you're going to spend more time and your risk is going to go up, right? So the $50,000 profits don't work anymore for me, right? Because I moved from that. Now we got way bigger profits, but teaching new investors, I want them right there, $50,000 minimum or 10% of the purchase price, right?
Love it.
For us, it's a 2 month remodel maximum, 4 month from buying to selling. So going back to your question, it doesn't matter because on a flip, on a remodel, a rehab, you got finding, buying, remodeling, and selling, right? Where do we make our money? We make the money on the buy. We make the money on the buy. We keep our money on the remodel, and we cash our money on the sale. So yep. These are quick flips, right? We, you know, there might be a market correction in like 12 months. In 9 months, right? Like, you know, but our flips are so quick. So as long as we make money on the buy. So as long as we're buying properties under price, right? So, and that's what we do. We don't do we do everything off market. So we find deals off market.
Love it, mate. Look, we're coming to the end of the show. At the end of the show, I love to do the top 3 investing tips. You ready to get into it? It's a lightning round.
I love it.
Question number 1, what is a daily habit you practice to keep on track towards your goals?
I tell you one that we started implementing with my wife was praying at night. So we spend 5-10 minutes right before in bed and we pray. And that's a connection we do with God. It's like, you know, we tap into the subconscious. But one that we've been doing longer than that has been, you know, you asked me, what's a daily habit that will give you closer to your goals? So no matter what goals you have in life, it's all about our, you know, it's all about being empowered, right? Because you might hit your goals, but if you're, there's so many people that hit their goals, financial goals, and they're unhappy, right? So fulfillment, it's a function of what you have and the relationship that you have with the things you have. So let me say that again. Happiness is a function, right? Or fulfillment is a function of what you have and the relationship with what you have.
Yep.
Let me give you an example. There's people with no money somewhere in the world and they're happy, right? Because they can appreciate what they have. So going back to your question, one of the daily habits we have with my wife every morning is it's inside of empowerment. It's inside of being fulfilled throughout the day, right? Because if you can achieve these small milestones, then the day turns to a week, the week turns to a month, the month turns to a year, decades, blah, 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 right? So we wake up and we, let me remember exactly what we do. We do it every morning. What are we grateful for? So the rule is whoever starts has to move to the next phase. There's a few phases. So what are we grateful for, right? I'm grateful for waking up next to you. I'm grateful for my parents being healthy. I'm grateful for all the students that we have. I'm grateful for having a roof. What are we grateful for? Then we do a mantra, right? No, then we do I statements. So an I statement is, today I want to be wealthy. Today I want to be healthy. Today I want to be present. Today I want to be a good listener. So you create a possibility for the day. And then we do a mantra. Right? A mantra is something that we wrote together. Think about like a business that you have you have like an intent. You have like a summary. Yep. We created a summary of our relationship. I don't want to say our relationship is a business, but if our if our relationship would be like a business, we created a mantra that, you know, like I'm speaking in the context of business.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. I know a lot of business owners are listening to this. So we created an intense statement, right, about who we are, what's our commitment, what do we strive, and you know, how are we going to get better? So it's a 5-minute practice.
Gotcha. Question number two, and this is a lightning round. Remember, lightning round. Question number two: well, who's been the most influential person in your career to date?
My dad, for sure. My dad and my mom.
Awesome.
My dad. Why? You know, my parents taught me compassion, right? My dad taught me not to judge person. Like my dad told me, I don't judge people from the past. I hear sometimes good or bad things from people. I just, every time I meet someone new, I treat them like a blank book, like a blank canvas. So it's like a new book, we don't judge people by their cover. So I got that from my dad. I got love from my mom, right? And generosity from my mom. Ability to listen. Not that I listen all the time, but I learned that from my mom. A lot of other things, but just to kind of like.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. Last question is, where can people reach you to be in the conversation? They want to be in your sphere. Where do they go?
So for our investments, we're good. Like we got our own projects. Sometimes we get a lot of people reaching out to me and saying, hey, Joe, I would like to invest in your flips. And they said, hey, you know, we got our own investors already. We're good. But I can give you the fish, right? If you want to invest, I could give you a return. But better than give you the fish, why not teaching you how to fish? That's where the company, our educational side, Real Success, got born. So we teach people how to get into rentals, get into flips, get into wholesaling, get into multifamily. We have a rule in the company. We can JV with our students. They get 100% of the profits. So it has to be 1 or 2 years until we build like a relationship. where we don't get to partner up with our students, they keep all the profits, right? And we teach them how to do that. So you can go to, can I give a website? Is that
yeah,
okay?
Go, yeah, yes, exactly. Yep.
OurRealSuccess.com. We have in-person trainings every week. We're doing trainings in person. We're doing also webinars for, you know, sometimes people are comfortable being in person after COVID. People are working from home. So some, if you're interested in in-person, we got in-person. Just go to the back. You can always email the back office. And then you can also call and they will let you know when the next workshop is. And or you could do a webinar. You could just jump into a webinar and be part of that as well.
Well, Joe, look, I want to thank you so much for jumping on today's show. Reflecting some of the things that I took away from today's show is, you know, your ability to adapt, you know, being a from coming to America and just doing things to get the money in the bank and on the table and keep a roof over your head from your photographer. Clearly, you're an artist and you're passionate about what you do. Everything, I think it's the way in which you are as a human, you're throwing yourself into what you're creating. And I think that's so powerful. So, want to thank you for jumping on the show. I would enjoy the rest of your week and we will catch up very, very soon.
Absolutely. And I want to acknowledge you, Reed, for taking the time, for inviting me to the show. And also I want to acknowledge you and everyone watching the show. It's just people that love you, follow you, that are there supporting you. So I want to acknowledge all of that community.
Thank you so much. And to that community, if you do like this show, the easiest way to give back is to give it a 5-star review on iTunes. And I want to thank you all again for tuning in to Grow Your Financial IQ, because that's what we're all about here on this show. And we're going to do it all again next week. So remember, be bold, be brave, and go give life a crack.